Let's get to that rocket. Grabbing her by the wrist, Grant raced out of the maintenance center, leaving Aichi and Zacharias staring at them, dumbfounded. As they sprinted along the corridor, Grant flicked his pocket phone open and called the flight control monitor. They're on schedule, Josie Rivera said. Find a reason to delay their liftoff for a few minutes, will you, Joe?
A reason? You mean like make up some excuse for delaying them? I can't do that, Grant. You know I can't do that. The ulcer would fry my butt if he found out.
Flight control at Cellini would go ballistic. Just a couple of minutes, Grant pleaded, puffing as he ran. Dr. Cardenas doesn't want to miss the flight. Josie's dark-eyed face looked stubborn in the phone's tiny screen.
I'll see what I can do, she said, in a tone that Grant knew meant that she would do nothing.
They skidded into the reception area, startling Nate Oberman so badly he dropped the mug of juice he'd been sipping. It spilled across the desk. 8, 7, the automated countdown sounded in the speakers set into the stone ceiling. Grant stood by Oberman's desk, chest heaving, Cardenas panting beside him. 10 seconds too late, he thought. 10 frigging seconds.
Damn it, Cardenas muttered.
2, 1, lift off.
The wall screen showed the lobber hurtling off the launch pad in a silent blast of dust and pebbles. The pilot's voice confirmed,
lift off on schedule. Bye-bye, Farside.
Confirm liftoff, Josie Rivera said.
Have a good flight, Derek. See you in 3 days, kiddo.
I'll be waiting for you.
The automated camera out by the landing pad was tracking the lobber as it climbed higher and higher into the star-filled black sky.
Pressure drop, the co-pilot's voice yelled.
In the wall screen's display, the lobber suddenly blossomed into a glaring ball of white-hot flame. Grant could see pieces of the rocket hurtling across the sky, falling slowly, gently, spinning lazily like children's toys. One of the pieces was the body of a man, Derek or his co-pilot. Frozen in horror, Grant watched the guy's arms and legs flailing as he screamed in the utter silence of the lunar vacuum all the way down to the hard, barren ground. A plague of nanomachines. Grant couldn't move. He stared at the display screen as the fireball that had been a lobber dissipated, and pieces of the rocket fell bouncing to the ground.
It...
Cardenas's voice was choked, gasping.
It blew up,
Nate Oberman said, his voice a hollow whisper.
Oh, my God!
Cardenas began to sob. Turning toward her, Grant took both of her hands in his. It took him 3 tries before he found his voice.
Are you okay?
Her eyes filled with tears, Cardenas nodded as she pulled in a deep, shuddering breath.
I might have been on it, she whispered. I might have...
You weren't on it, Grant said firmly. And you're alive. You're okay. She said nothing, simply stared at him. Josie Rivera's voice came through the overhead speakers.
It's gone. It...
Raising his voice, Grant said, better call Cellini, Josie. Tell them what happened.
Yeah, right.
Her voice sounded weak, dazed.
But how did it happen? How did it happen?
That's what we've got to find out, Grant told himself. But first I've got to tell Ulrich about it. Grant walked Cardenas back to the quarters that had been assigned to her. Will you be okay by yourself? I can get somebody to stay with you. Her eyes red but dry now, Cardenas said calmly.
I'm all right. It was a shock, but I'm all right now.
Good. I'll look in on you in a while. Right now I've got a lot to do.
I understand. Go ahead.
Grant left her and started sprinting down the corridor toward Professor Ulrich's office. As he ran, he called Harvey Henderson on his pocket phone.
Get a crew suited up and go out to pick up the bodies, Grant ordered.
What's left of them, Henderson said grimly.
Don't touch the debris, Grant continued. Leave it where it fell. We might be able to establish an idea of the force of the explosion from the debris pattern on the ground.
Yeah, right. He reached Ulrich's office, rapped on the door once, and slid it open. The professor was at his desk as usual, with Trudy Yost sitting at the conference table. One of the wall screens was filled with spectrographic data. Ulrich looked annoyed at Grant's interruption. Trudy seemed surprised.
What do you want, Mr. Simpson?
There's been an accident, Professor.
An accident?
The lobber from Cellini. It exploded on liftoff.
What?
Ulrich shot to his feet. The two men and the crew were killed. Dr. Cardenas wasn't aboard it, though. She's okay.
It exploded? How? Why?
That's what we'll have to find out, said Grant. The flight monitoring people have all the telemetered data from the vehicle. I think the co-pilot said something about a pressure drop just before she blew up. Ulrich slumped back into his chair and stared sightlessly at Grant.
It blew up?
He asked, his voice a thin, pitiful whine. Grant looked at Trudy. She seemed shocked, distraught. I'll get down to the flight control center and see what the telemeter record can tell us, Grant said. Ulrich shook his head in misery.
Cellini will send investigators. They'll get in our way, poking and probing everywhere. Just when we're starting to get results from the first telescope, they'll ruin everything.
Professor, two men were killed. Of course Cellini will want to investigate.
They'll ruin everything, everything, Ulrich moaned.
Trudy suggested,
Maybe I could go out to Mendeleev and work the telescope from there, out of their way.
No, Grant snapped. She turned toward him.
Why not?
You'll be safer here.
Safer?
Ulrich demanded.
Safe from what?
Nanomachines, said Grant. As he spoke the word, he realized that his deepest fear was looming before him. I think this place is infested with destructive nanomachines.
That's insane, Ulrich roared. You're insane!
Face the facts, Professor. Winston was killed at Mendeleev. Now the lobber blows up.
There is no evidence that nanomachines destroyed the lobber, Ulrich insisted. None at all.
They killed Winston, and now they've blown up the lobber, Grant countered stubbornly. Leveling a finger at Grant, Ulrich seethed.
If you mention nanomachines to anyone outside this room, I'll fire you. I'll send you packing, Simpson.
Send me where? Do you think Cellini or any place else will take somebody from a site that might be infested with a plague of nanomachines? Quarantined. Trudy watched Grant leave the office, sliding the door shut with a heavy thud. She turned to Professor Ulrich and saw him seated at his desk, his head in his hands.
I'm ruined, Ulrich moaned. Utterly ruined.
Without thinking about it, Trudy got up from her chair, went around the professor's desk, and knelt at his side.
It might not be that bad, Professor, she said,
her voice soft, tender.
They'll stop our work. I know they will, Ulrich said. Just when we were starting to get significant results.
His voice trailed off. Trying to make him feel better, Trudy said,
I can write up our spectrographic results. We can publish that. First spectra from Sirius C. Oxygen and water vapor in the planet's atmosphere. That'll put Farside's name on the map.
Ulrich seemed inconsolable.
What good will that do? We won't be able to make any progress beyond that.
But it's a breakthrough, Trudy insisted.
I'll bet it'll impress those guys in Stockholm.
He looked up at her.
The Nobel Committee? Do you think so?
Certainly. And we won't be shut down for long, I bet. Cellini'll send some accident investigators here, and soon as they figure out what caused the explosion, we'll be back in business.
Ulrich began to nod. But then he said,
What if Simpson is right? What if this facility is infected with nanomachines? They'll shut us down, perhaps permanently.
Trudy had no reply for that. Dog-tired after hours of poring over telemeter data, Grant made his way to the cafeteria and blindly punched buttons for a late supper. The cafeteria was almost empty at this time of the night. Only a pair of technicians at one of the tables, and a lone administrator bent over a digital reader as he sipped at a mug of tea. Grant carried his tray to the farther end of the table and plunked himself down. Mind if I join you? He looked up to see Chris Cardenas standing there holding a dinner tray. I didn't see you come in, said Grant. Cardenas nodded as she sat beside him.
You seemed totally wrapped up in your own thoughts.
Grant said, Yeah.
Tough day.
Yeah.
I've made arrangements to meet with Halleck's engineers from here, she said. We'll do the conference electronically instead of in the flesh.
Good.